we started Perek Gimel, so we're up to page Nun Tes. The morale was telling us that the reason that Adam is called Adam, that man is called Adam after the Adama, is that the whole inyan of a person is that he was created b'koach. B'koach, he was created with unbelievable potential. After having told us the greatness of man and the greatness of a Jew, so the morale began the parak by telling us this doesn't mean that you should think that you are naturally in a state of shleimus. You shouldn't think that you were created in a way of perfection. You were created in a way where you have all the kalim. We have all that is needed, all that is necessary to reveal that madrega within yourself, but it's all in a state of bekoach, of potential, and you have to draw this out in your life. Therefore, all of the different uses of peiros and the comparisons to trees and peiros that we find in Chazal and in Tanakh regarding man, and the reason that he's called Adam, because of the Adama, that the Adama is miyuchedes b'zeh, the Maral taught, that the Adama is unique, that it has that singular, unique ability to take that which is potential and to draw out and to reveal all that is latent, all that is waiting to be revealed. And that's the nature of a person whose entire life is one of hitzahs peiros, of producing, of being megale, of being moitzim and akoyach alapoyal to reveal those koyaches lamaisa. And this is how he's different from the animal. And this is where we're up to on page Nun Tes. Va'behema. It's a good way to start. My Rebbe and Yeshiva usually started with that word. Va'behema nikris b'shem behema. I mean, in the plural, of course. I don't know. Va'behema nikris b'shem behema. Why is a behema called Taka behema? Al shem ba'ma. One of the most enjoyable things when you learn Maral is you relearn Lashon HaKodesh. The depth of his understanding of Hebrew and the way that he uses Lashon HaKodesh in his biurim, in his explanations of Chazal, is unequaled, is unique. So here the morale reveals to us the meaning of the word behema. Al shem ba ma. Ba ma, what it is in it. That's it. What you see is what you get. Ba ma, das is das. That's what it is. Ratzalaimer, the meaning of this is, ki shleimus davar shenivra alav nimtza ba. Its entire shleimus, whatever it can be, it already is. That's all it is. There's no she'ifas to grow. There's no potential for change, for improvement, for development. That's what it is. Ba'ma. Afagav she'en shleimus gomer. Even though it certainly is far from perfection, it's a behemoth, it's an animal. But that's what it is. It can't change. It can't become more. There is no potential that needs to be activated. Yekomakom davar ze nimtza ima. It's already with it. V'zehu ba'ma. Ki davar ma. Dvar ma nimtza ima. That's what it means. The dvar ma nimtza ima is the essence of what it is. That's all, and it's already there with it completely. That's why we were learning in the Chassidus class a few weeks ago a piece from Rabbi Leiblager where he explains the whole verification of the kedusha of Aaron when there was the machloikis with Korach. When Korach rebelled against the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, but primarily against the kahuna, so the bechina or the havchana, the way to confirm the kedusha of the kahuna, was the isha she'evcha by. You remember this? She'evcha by Mateo Yifrach. Mateo Yifrach means the one whom I will choose; his staff will blossom. Which Rabbi Leibel asked over there. It should say asher bacharti bo. The man whom I chose. Aaron was chosen. Why does it say Asher Evchar Bay, whom I will choose? So that Rabbi Leibel says a gewaldige thing. He says that the way of the Kohen of Aaron was that every single moment he never relied upon what was until now. Every second of his life he was always filled with a tefillah, halavai, this next moment Hashem's Baruch should be happy with me. This next moment he should choose me. He should want me. Asher Evchar Bay. That's the bechina of Mateo Yifrach. What does it mean, Mateo Yifrach? So it says in all this form that the word mate is a lashon of netia, means where one is inclined, the way netias anefesh. It means choice. A mate means means free choice, either like this or like that, right? To be neite liyamin ulasmol. That's what it means, a mate. Mateo Yifrach means that the one who is most chosen by Hashem is Davke, that Jew, who every single moment of his life, he's blossoming. He's growing. He's changing. He's not resting on his laurels. He's not looking back upon the past and say, there was already a Bechir. I am chosen. I was chosen. This already has happened. Every single second is this movement towards his Shleimus. That's what is unique in a human being, and the morale is going to develop this much more. That's all. That's all that it is. It doesn't take anything. There's no tzmicha. By an animal, there is no blossoming. There's no growing. That's all. That's what it is. Next page.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Moshe and Aaron. V'nachnu ma. Who are we? Who are we? V'nachnu ma.
Nothing, isn't it? Or
is it
saying
what it can mean both. Ba ma means it's not nothing. Sof kosof. That's what it is. Oh, but it means ba ma. What it is that's all it is. That ma, that little bit, that's all that it is. That's all that it consists of. Whatever it is what it is. That's all. Omnam, he says, in page Samach. Now here he's going to discuss something which could be troubling. Omnam al titta b'dvarim elu lishlal hashleimus mimisha iev shoshiyetzi shleimus al apoyal. The morale says, be careful not to make a mistake, because there are Jews who never reach their shleimus, who are never able to activate and to bring out that which was bekoyach, that which was waiting within them. So you might think, perhaps, he says, lishlal hashleimus, that such a person can never be worthy of the next world, of Olam Haba, right? He was never bringing out the Shleimus Alapoyal. Asha holach la'oy lomay koidem. Like a child, God forbid, that dies. A child that dies. So, Chalil, a person dies, a child, or someone dies young. See, he was never mitzi's kaiches. The growth was stunted at a very, very early age. So therefore, he couldn't be anywhere near L'chayra. He couldn't be anywhere near his Shleimus. Man's responsibility is to reveal all those kaiches and to bring himself as close as possible to a level of perfection, as we'll talk about perfection means, within the limitations of a human life. This person died before he was able to achieve that. Kaidim shahaytzi shleimu shalai el apayl. Right? Ashahalach la'olama. He left this world. He died before he was able to bring his kaiches el apayl. Ein anu shaylulim ha'ilam haba menu klal. The Mal says, we do not deny. The Torah does not deny Olam Haba at all. Does not deny this person the world to come. Olam Haba. Im yesh bo hachon el hashleimus v'meis. If he was in the process of growing. That's bechlal. I mean, that's the essence of Yiddishkeit. It's not a question of the product of what you produced. It's not a question of the end result. It's a question of a person's movement towards the end. His sheaf is to grow. So the Maral says, therefore, im yesh b'hachon el ha-shleimus v'meis, this person was prepared, meaning he was working towards his shleimus, and then he died. Sha'onus hoya. It's not his fault. He was an onus. He had no choice. It was not something that was up to him. Shlo haitzi shleimus shalei l'poil. What could he do? He couldn't bring his shleimus b'poil. He wasn't able to. Look at footnote 31. He brings the Lashon from up ahead. 31. Lashon Lan Parakei. Ki mashi Yisrael hem uchonim ala Torah hima drega b'fnei atzma. Fim lahoya mailas Yisrael b'mesha hem uchonim ala Torah. Be'ezet sad nucha loyma sha'isim shlahoya yuchon l'kai mitzvah satara. What about Jews that they can't... What about a Jew that can't be Mekayim the Torah? He wants to be Mekayim. He wants to live a life of Torah, but there's something... for reasons that are not of his own fault, he's not able to live a life of Torah. He's not able to live a life of Shleimus and Torah. Shemeisu k'shehem ketanim. Here he spells it out, that they died when they were young. Sheyu b'nei olam haba. Aval inyan hu b'mesh shehem ha'am sheyesh lehem ha'Torah u'muchanim l'Torah mitzvah. The word muchanim, which we usually translate as prepared, in the Lashon Hara doesn't mean prepared. It means craving, longing, seeking. Right? Are driven towards. B'shvil hachanos l'mater yisku l'chai olam haba. Because of all of their efforts to move towards that, they're worthy of olam haba. Which it says in the Svar Makadoshim that the whole meaning of Olam Haba is the world to come. It says in the Sfarim, I don't remember where. I think they say from Mishlana, such a lashon, that Olam Haba, the world to come, means that the whole nature of this person is that he was constantly seeking. He was seeking to the world to come, meaning he was looking for something more than he had right now. Olam Haza means Bama Behema. This is what I have. This is who I am. Right? You can't change me. I'm set. Olam Haba means that this Jew's world is constantly arriving. It's a new world that's coming every moment. Haba, it's the world to come. It doesn't just mean when you die. It means that Jew who lived in this life as a person who was constantly waiting for a new world to appear in his life, for something new, new avoda, new learning, new mitzvahs, new davening. He was an Olam Habadika person in this world. Back up top.
How do we know that's not his shlemus? Let's say a kid dies young. How do we know what the cheshbonos are? Maybe that he...
We certainly don't know. But that, you could say, to say a teretz, that maybe that was his shlemus. Maybe that was his shlemus, and he did what he was able to do. And it says this in many of the svarim, that maybe he had to accomplish something, a certain tikkun in this world, and he was mashlim what he had to do, and then he's finished. That's true. That's not our cheshbon. The Maharal does discuss that in other places. The Maharal, though, generally doesn't focus on that approach. It's more in the Ramchal's Mahalach. But it's true that it could be that was the point of Shlemus. And apparently, I mean, that's the Metzius. If you see that he was a person that was a Baal She'ifas, that he was someone that was growing. and we don't understand Hashgach, why was this person stopped mid-growth, mid-stream? So we have to say that person brought a tikkun, even at a very early age, that was the tikkun that had to be brought. But these are sisrei Torah. These are things that are hidden from us that we can't possibly know. But yeah, it's true.
According to the Maharal, is there a point in life, let's say, when a person is very old, that they've reached the shlemus, or they're very close to the shlemus?
Oh, he's going to talk about that. Okay, so we'll see. Ka'amram Zal, back inside after 31. Choshev lasses mitzvah v'nanas. The Gemara says in Brachas, a person intended to do a mitzvah and then he wasn't able to carry it out because of something that was no fault of his own. Yesh le'alzeh schar, he is rewarded ki'ilu osa ha-mitzvah. He is rewarded as if he did the mitzvah. V'zeh mitzad ki'aschar le'osid hu l'neshama. So Maral explains what this means. The Maral explains. I mean, the halachas from talk about, what is that ki'ilu? It's as if he did it. And how does that affect a person halachically? And there's a big piece in the Chalkas Yoyev at the beginning. And b'chlal, what does that mean, ki'ilu? But in Pnimius, the Maral explains, what is that ki'ilu? What does that mean? That if you wanted to do a mitzvah and you weren't able to, it's ki'ilu. So he says, ki aschar la'osid, the reward of the future, hula neshama. The reward is not to the guf, it's the reward of the neshama. Ultimately, it will be tchias ha'meisim. But the reward of the future is a ruchni yizdika reward. The kashu ha'onus lahaye ikuv zeh mitzad ha'neshama. This is the point. When you wanted to do something, it means that your neshama was there. I spoke about this past Shabbos, that where a person wants to be, that's the Baal Shem HaKadosh said this on many occasions, that the person is where he wants to be. That's the yisayt of a person. It's not where you physically are. The aside of a person is where you want to be. And I explained that, I explained that with the aside that we find in the Chassam Sefer, as he explained Rashi, that wherever it says in Tanakh, a lashon of lekicha, of taking by human beings. So Rashi always explains that lekicha is not talking about physically moving the person, it's talking about spiritually moving the person, l'moshel. Vayikach kairach, Rashi says there moshach roishes and hadroyes. It doesn't say that. It doesn't mean when it says that Karach took. It doesn't mean he picked them up and he schlepped them. It means that he persuaded them. He persuaded the leaders to join him. Right. So the Chassam Sefer says a yisayid. Why does it say such a thing? That he persuaded. Why doesn't it mean that he took them? In Bechlal, where you have a lashon of lekicha and Tanakh, it means persuading. So the Chassam Sefer explains Rashi and it's a yisayid gadol. It's a big yisayid. I mean, I explained it more by Riches and that Shir. But the yisayid hadavar is that even though you could take a person physically and take him from this place and schlep him someplace else, but that's not really who he is. Who he really is his neshama. That's the essence of a man, is who he, of not where you are, but where you want to be. Where you want to be. That's who you really are, where you want to be. That's the mahus of who you are, where your heart, where your mind is. That's the essence of who you are. Therefore, what the Maharal is saying over here is, when a person wanted to do a mitzvah, that means the neshama did it. The neshama went to that place. They wanted to do a chesed, and they got stuck in a traffic jam. In the end, they couldn't pick up the person that needed a lift. Well, he wanted to, it was geitnish, it didn't go. So, even though mitzad ha-guf, mitzad the person himself, his guf, mitzad in other words, that secondary part of who you are, it's true that you're sitting on the highway in a traffic jam. You're not there. But mitzad, the neshama, of what you wanted, and wanting is that mitzad the neshama, where you want to be, the neshama is there. I mean, it's not going to help your friend out to get to the airport, right? And the neshama hinnin, hey, you could give him a whole drasha, you could tell him around, since I missed my plane here. But in Pnimius Anyanim, this is the mitzias, that the neshama is there. Therefore he says, that's what it means, kasher ho onus, lahaya ikuv ze mitzad ha neshama. When a person was an onus, he couldn't do it, that ikuv, that obstruction, that delay or that obstruction was not from the neshama. Rak la guf, it was the traffic. My guf was delayed. My guf was obstructed. Ulekach neistim le neshama, schar kilo asa ha mitzvah. Since schar mitzvah is something that is b'hai al-malaika, the general rule is that we're not rewarded for mitzvahs in this physical world. Ayin le'irosa l'kim z'lasecha, because there isn't a thing in this world. There isn't a thing in this world that even the slightest mitzvah is kedai. Not a thing in this world. With all of the aitzvahs of this world, with all of the Trumps and Rockefellers and the rest of them rolled up, there isn't. It's not equal to one good maida'ani. To one good maida'ani, it's not worth. Ayin le'irosa l'kim z'lasecha. Only the Rebbein Shalom knows the greatness of the world to come. We don't know that. Therefore, the ikar haschar, of course, is not in this world. The reward for the neshama, the reward for our mitzvahs, is in that place of the neshama. So therefore, since the neshama itself really did do this mitzvah, in Panemius it's doing it. It's there. It's just there's an artificial ikar. There's an artificial obstruction that's coming mitzad haguf, from man's physical reality that he's caught up in, right? So therefore, neistim l'neshama schar kilo osa ha-mitzvah. From the perspective of the neshama, it's kilo osa ha-mitzvah. And the hashloma of this is, look in footnote 33, it's very important. Omnam, he says, adayin tzarech biya d'hotenach sh'aschar hu l'neshama. Okay, he says, sof kol sof, we believe that the reward is for the neshama, the soul is rewarded. Ach sof kol sof, af ha neshama gufa adayim la'osas ha mitzvah v'poil. Listen, you want to say fancy things. The ma'isa, the neshama didn't carry out this mitzvah. It never happened. The person was left stranded. The neshama did not carry out this mitzvah. V'alma yinosin la'sachar. Therefore, why should the neshama be rewarded if it actually never took place? V'arei oynis k'man da'ovid le'amrinan. That's the whole shaylin halacha. That oynis, even though a person's on this, it's ki'ilu. Hashem counts. If you couldn't do it, Hashem counts, it's ki'ilu. But it does it mean l'maisa that it was done? So the Yerushalmi says, that's a lotion. It's k'man David lo yamrina. We don't say it as if it was mamish done. Mitzad the chefze, mitzad the object, nothing changed. The Baruch Shalom gives you points. That's the simple understanding, right? Ki'ilu means, all right, you know, be for effort, like, the parents' teachers' meeting. Kid, a lot of effort. Failed everything. A lot of effort. So the fact that you get an E for effort, that's very, very nice. Mitzad the Gavra, they give you, the Baruch Shalom gives you points, and you're a good boy, and he gives you points ki'ilu. But the Mitzad the Chavsa, Lamaisa, nothing was tud'aif, nothing was changed in the world, nothing happened. Every mitzvah brings about unbelievable things, unbelievable changes in all of the worlds, and all of the ilumis, and nothing Lamaisa happened, nothing changed. So he says, Omnam tshuv al kach timse bedvarim shekosa bechidush ha-gadus l'shabbos. What is the moral right over there in chidush ha-gadus? Sheba'oid shebedvarv kan mevar ha-moral ha-sibas matnas char. Over here the moral is explaining the reason for being rewarded. Hare bedvarv shom mevar es ha-mayla ha-kosev ki'ilo asa. There, the moral is focusing on what the Gemara means when it says that it's in brachas, when it says that the Torah considers it as if you did it. That's what he focuses on over there. And these are the words of the Maral over there in Shabbos. Ki a mitzvah hi elokis sichlis. The mitzvah is a godly spiritual thing. Ulefichach, therefore, ein ha mitzvah k'meishad dvarim gashmiim. Therefore, the mitzvah is not like other physical things. Sh'av shabal lehem oynis. When it comes to something that's physical, and you're an oynis, and it didn't work out, you couldn't do it, there was something physical you needed to do, and you couldn't do it. Sof sof loynasu. L'maisa, it wasn't done. If it's something which is completely physical, you could say the fanciest things in the world, but l'maisa, you know, it didn't happen. Aval dove ze, kezeh she'eno, it says kezeh she'eno dove gashmi. When it comes to a mitzvah, even though it's using something that's gashmi, that's physical, but in and of itself, it's not a dove gashmi. V'harei ha'yeroitza lasas ha'mitzvah. The person, the morale says, the person wanted to do the mitzvah. And since this is not a physical, it involves a physical act, but essentially it's a spiritual act. Therefore, when it comes to spirituality, it's not limited, it's not defined by space, by time. It's not defined by that. And this is what I was explaining before. This was the person's thought. This was his intention. This is where his neshama was. Raksha boloi oynes. Bahai Alma, in this physical world, an oynes took place. The kaven shechoshav is sichloi lasa, since he intellectually, in his mind, and spiritually, he wanted that. He wanted to do the mitzvah. Now, it's not a physical thing that wouldn't work. You could tell that to your boss all day long. I wanted to. I had my neshama, my seichel. It doesn't work. Because why? Because it's an act which is a physical act, and a physical act is defined by the limitations of physical reality. And if it's not there, it's not there. There's nothing to say. But Mashenikin, when it comes to a mitzvah, we only see the last stop, the Tachanah HaSofit. All we see is the final stop of a whole ishtalshlus of an amazing, amazing chain of ruchnis dikke, of spiritual reality, until finally it descends into a physical item. Into a pair of tefillin, into a tzitzis, yeah.
Why doesn't Rabbi Mitzvah
should be Badabi in there also? He says only Badabi Zar, it's Mitzara for Lamaisa. Yeah, so, because you have to say, that's a very good question. What Rebelli is asking is that, L'chayra, we know there's a klal that in general, only a machshava toiv, if a person has good intentions, and a Kosh Baruch Hu considers it as if it took place. Mashenikin a machshava ra, mashenikin when it's a negative thought, when it's a thought to do an aveira, God forbid, then a Kosh Baruch Hu is ainu mitzar for the mice, except by a goy, right? Chazal say, except by a goy. By a Jew, it's a terrific deal. I mean, if you have a good thought, then Kosh Baruch Hu counts it as if you did it. But if you had a negative thought, not, with the exception, as Rebelli said, with the exception of a Avodah Zarah. So what is that? So really, that requires a much longer talk. But the kitzer, why it doesn't work for Neveir is because, as the Moral says, all through the Svarim, that there is no such thing as a Jew really doing an Neveir mitzad and Hashem. The Ari HaKadosh said that when a Jew does an Neveir, it's a frightening thing. The Ari HaKadosh says that B'shas Ma'aseh, Jew makes up his mind, he's going to do an Aveir, Chalila. He makes up his mind, his time is angechapt with a crazy Yetzirah, he's going to do that. The Ari HaKadosh says that B'shas Ma'aseh, the Neshama is Mistalekis Minei. The Neshama goes away. In other words, the Moral says, the Ari HaKadosh says, that the deepest part of a Jew will never participate in an Aveir. Will not. I'll explain what it is in a second. The deepest part of a Jew cannot participate in this rebellion against the Rebbein Shalom. Therefore, when a person goes to do an Aveira, the Ari HaKadosh says, and all of everything that Rizal said is mekubal, right, by us, it's accepted, that B'shas Ma'aseh, the Neshama is mistalekes mimenu. The Neshama will, it's not the Nefesh Ruach not, but it's not the Neshama, right, the Panemius of who you are, the inner essence of who you are will not participate in such an event, which is exactly what the Rambam says, the famous Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin of Kaifnei Tzayashi Yemei Reitzani, which everybody knows, which that a person doesn't want to give the get. So Kaifnei say, you force him until he says, I want to. The get has to be given me Teich Rotzen. You have to want to give a get, right? It has to be free will. So the Rambam says that Bemis, he wants to, which is the Yetzirah, That's the ma'akev, right? The Sarah Shabbisa, the Yetzahara, is an artificial obstacle, an obstruction Mimela, when a Jew is doing a mitzvah, even when he wants to do the mitzvah, he's engaging the deepest part of who he is. He's sending his neshama to the mitzvah. When a Jew wants to do an aveira, he's not engaging the deeper part of who he is. It's a shidchis. It's a superficial, silly thing. I have a zara. Right? Also, therefore, does that make sense? Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mitzar for lemaisa. It's not counted as if you did it, because really, in the emes and the pnimis of who you are, you never would do this. You can't bring yourself to do it. Right? Chazal say, if you see a tzaddik, and the tzaddik is doing an aveira, if you see him at night, he's doing an aveira, don't even think twice. Certainly by the next day, he already did tshuva. Forget it. He did tshuva already. So what is it? Why is that? Because the tzaddik means that any aveira that he does, is the morale says, is bimikra. Bimikra doesn't mean a coincidence. But bimikra means it's not revealing the essential person. He was caught off guard. Something crazy happened. He was depressed about something. A rokhshtus. He was caught off guard. Mimela, since it's a dover mikri, it's not a dover atzmi. You understand? A mikra means it's not revealing the essential person. The atzmi means who I am. That's who I am. But when it comes to an aveira, it's not really be'etzim. Now, when it comes to avodah zarah, so there, avodah zarah, there is such a thing as mitzar for the ma'isa, because avodah zarah, even though it's true that pnimis should be pnimis, even though it says that there are certain Jews that they don't have a chelek l'olam haba, right? So you understand that the Rav Tzadok already explained in many places that the Darshei Rishuma is those who are familiar with, who understand Sisrei Torah, secrets of Torah and Kabbalah. They know that every Jew has a chelek l'olam haba. There are results that every Jew has a chelek. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek l'olam haba. Every single Jew. It says in the Gemara, this one doesn't have, this one doesn't have. So that's why it says, Darshei Rishumas, the Gemara says in heaven, that those who are Darshei Rishumas, that they look for his, they even found by the worst that all the Rishayim have a Chelek Nalam Haba. What does it mean, Darshei Rishumas? So Tzadik says that the word Raisha means a residue. Darshei Rishumas means those Mekubalim who understand, who are seeking, who are Darish, the residue of who a Jew is, they understand that ultimately every Jew has a Chelek Nalam Haba. So therefore, when it says in the Gemara that when it comes to the Zohar, even a negative thought of Avodah Zarah, Hashem is Mitzarif Lamaisa, that God counts it. When you think of Avodah Zarah, it counts Chalila Lamaisa. Kaidim Kalan Halacha Alpidin, how that Poil Alpidin, it's something which is Bechlal not, and it's not clear at all that it's Poil Alpidin. So what does it mean, Ki'ilu? It means that a person who, God forbid, is a Kaifer, as someone who is a heretic, God forbid, he's opting out of the system. In other words, the system works, but if a Jew could go so far to say, actually, I don't want Elokei Yisrael, I don't want the Rebbeinu Shlom, I don't want him. In other words, and he's proclaiming, b'fnei am ve'eda, to the whole world, that you want to know who I really am? I'm this Chazer Fresher that you're looking at. I'm the Michal Shabbos you're looking at. I'm this person, because there is nothing else. If you deny that there's anything else, so there is such a Metzias that you can cut yourself off in such a way. But even that person, ultimately, it also has a Chelek L'Mah. Ultimately, also has a chelek l'olam haba. So really, it's mitzarfa lemaisa, even by avodah zarah, is not in ganzen, is not altogether. Because even that person is not, ultimately will have a tikkun. Which I mentioned a few, that the Ari HaKadosh says that even Isa Ish will have a tikkun. Even Isa Ish, even Yashke, has a tikkun. He said it after 50,000 yovels, and it's a mahalach. but even Isa Ish has a tikkun. Could you imagine? Isa Ish has a tikkun. But Bilam doesn't have a tikkun. Hitler Yimach Shema will never have a tikkun. They won't have tikkun. But Isa Ish, who caused a much bigger chorban than Bilam, right? Isa Ish, he has a tikkun. There is a tikkun. So that's so mitzad the pnimius. It's not even mitzayr for lemaisa. Did I answer that all? Right. But this is, one has to realize that an aveira, when a Jew does an aveira, it's not really who he is. It's inconsequential. Ultimately, it'll have a tikkun. It must have a tikkun because it can't possibly be who he is. Anytime a Jew is, even a Jew who's been mazed, in Pnimius, he's an honest. He's an honest of the Yetzar. He's an honest. And that's where we find the Chazal, the Tainas. Moshe Rabbeinu had a Tain, the Gemara Brachas. Moshe Rabbeinu has a Tain, Mayasa, Ben Velayachta. What do you have? You have complaints against Jews? You were the one who gave them all the gold. right, when they left Mitzrayim. And now, now you have a shaila. Why are they worshipping of an Azar? Why are they making Negel Azar? Mayasa ben v'leachta. Jews are anusim. You made them anusim. It's your fault. That, I mean, we're not allowed to talk like that. Moshe Rabbeinu was matich deram klapim al. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke that way. Chana spoke that way. The Gemara says there in the fifth parak, people that spoke was we're afraid to talk that way. There were tzaddikim, the kedushas leiv used to talk with such open lashonis. We're afraid to talk that way. But lamais, it's a taina. Anusim hayinu. It's a taina of anusim. So now he, but then Itaki explains. Let's finish. Yeah, let's finish this. The footnote 33. When it comes to physical things, you're limited by physical reality. And if you couldn't, and physically you didn't get to work, so you can tell your boss, you should know that I'm an honest, and I still should get paid. You should be ma'ala olai, ki'ilu ha'yisi b'avayda, right? Imagine you tell your boss, I would like you to, since I wanted to come to work today, I hold that I'll be din, you should pay me. Because it's as if I was there. It says in the Gemara that I'm ma'ala olav ha'kosav. So the boss will tell you, listen, Rabbi Yid, ma'ala olav ha'kosav means that the Torah looks at you and you should learn the morale in Tiferes Yisrael, because the moral is saying that when it comes to Dvarim Gashmi, there's not the moral of Kosov. If you couldn't, you couldn't. You didn't go to work. When it comes to a mitzvah, that's not true. Because a mitzvah, we only see that little piece that's part of this physical world. But the greater part of what it is something that we can't see with our eyes. And that greater part of who you are was there. It was there, even though you don't see it. So there you could say such a thing of ma'alol of Kosov, ki'ilu. Ki'ilu.
Ki'ilu apply when, let's say, I set my alarm at 5:30. I want to get to the
right. Right, didn't work out.
And I say I can't. Is that the Ki'ilu?
Oh, what's the? I thought the alarm clock wasn't working.
No, the alarm clock works.
You weren't working.
I wasn't working.
Yeah.
Is that what the Maharal was talking about? Or is he talking about when you get stuck in traffic?
Listen, there are different levels of oinus. And this is a matter that's discussed in halacha. Is that considered to be an onus? So then, you know, there are certain things that it's very hard to know. It's such a dakistic thing that maybe only the Rebbeinu Shlom knows. It could be that if you were so overwhelmed and you were so completely drained of strength that even though you walk around thinking, I should have done it, I could have gotten up, but the Rebbeinu Shlom knows that you weren't onus. You were in that case, that you weren't honest, that you couldn't muster up the strength. So this is one of the difficulties of life. We never really know. It's easy when you're caught in traffic, right? Because then you can say, but those more subtle types of einus, when even when it comes to Yetzirah, but the Baruch Shalom can tell you at the end of your life that this was something, this was a certain inyan that you were in that you should know that you were doomed to fail. How could such a thing be? What about free choice? Okay. I've said many times in shul, and I'm always very, very careful how I talk about this, because in Panemius, in the Svar Makadoshim, one discovers that free choice is not exactly what it's cut out to be. Right? It's not as much as they told us in sixth grade, or before the Bar Mitzvah, whatever it might be. It's not altogether the Bechira. It's Mitzad Chitzonius. It looks to us that way. There are certain things that are tikkunim that take place that you have to go through something, and that, but you're not allowed to make that cheshbon. That's not your business. That's the Baruch Shalom's cheshbon. So how do you know if you're an honest? Reb Tzadik talks about it a little bit in Tikkun Tzadik in a few places, ways of knowing, but it will take us a little bit off. But Mitzidenu, there's something that's very part of that which brings to this wonderful thing that Hashem counts it and Hashem sees your neshama there is some of the grief and aggravation you have that you can't make it. In other words, if your attitude is then you woke up and it turns out, oy vai, and it turns out it's 7 o'clock and you missed where you wanted to go. So when you look at that, so if your attitude is no, all right, what could you do, right? So then it's different from the person who feels, not that you should make yourself meshuggah, but you should feel some pain. And that's the difference between a person. You have a person that, you know, many of you say remember that, the Heidi Bowl, you remember that when the Super Bowl and all of a sudden and it was Heidi, right? You remember that? What year was that?
It was Jets against Oakland.
That was a long time ago. I remember that. So that there was such an outcry from the Tachtoinim, such a scream of what? That something came to obstruct the last minute or two, whatever it was, of the Super Bowl. So that aggravation that one feels in Gashmias, when you wanted something, right? When you wanted something. So I remember that I was at a simcha. You know, when I'm by simchas, I really don't usually get a chance to eat something, because this one comes, this one talks. That's just how it is. I don't have a chance to eat. So I was very tired, and I was by a simcha, and I was trying to stick around to get the main. I was trying to stick around because I hadn't eaten in a long time, and I wanted to have the main. And I saw them bring it. It looked like it was something chashev, which means that there were fried onions on it. By me. So I'm waiting for this thing, and I'm telling you, Ma'ase Shehayu, that I was standing there. There was a Rosh Hashiva, somebody who was talking to me, a long white beard, and they were bringing the thing out, and he's talking to me, and I'm looking, you know, Libi b'mizrach, you understand? So I'm looking at this thing, and he's talking weiter, and this was going on for half hour, and I didn't know how to get out of this. And because then they already cleaned the table off, and if you'd have been there, you'd have taken care of it done. But I couldn't do anything about it. And by that time, it was really late because I had to be somewhere. I just wanted to chop a little piece of that rib. You know, I wanted to chop a little. So I remember thinking to myself, it's a terrible thing. I mean, I remember thinking like, I'm talking to this Choshev Yid. You know, he's talking to me about Yiddishkeit and what can we do for Yiddishkeit, and we have to do this and we have to do that. And I was only thinking, I got to get this guy out of the way. What am I going to do? I don't know what to say. How do I stop him? And he's talking about the Rebbein Shalom. He was a good man. And he's so sincere. And I'm looking the whole time. And I'm like, you know, I don't know what to do about this. So that feeling of regret that one doesn't have, that I wasn't able to do this what I wanted. I wasn't able to make the extra, that other deal. So that's a feeling that I was an honest. But when it comes to Yiddishkeit, so I've said this to people often, and I try to say it to myself. If you miss davening, you should feel a little bit bad. Say when you come home, say if you came late to davening, you came late. So when you come home, you know what? Say a couple of kippah l'chtilim. Show the Baruch Hu there's something like, you know, it bothers me. It's not stam. When it comes to anything of this world, a physical things, then a person tries to make whatever tashlumen he can make in this world. When it comes to spiritual things, nope, didn't work out. What could you do? So that's something that is very carefully weighed, it says in the Svarim by Hashem. Are you an honest? If you're an honest, attacker happens. But then if it doesn't bother you at all, then what kind of an honest is it? That reveals that your neshama was not really in shul at that time. Because if your neshama was in shul and you couldn't get out of bed, so then there is that pain. Whenever the neshama and the body are being split in two, that's painful. That's always painful, like death. That's painful. It's a level of death. Right? It's a level of death. When your neshama is in one place and your body is in another place, that hurts. That hurts. Therefore, when your neshama is at the shir, or your neshama is doing a mitzvah, and you got stuck in traffic, that hurts. It's a piece of death. Right? God forbid, when a person puts his neshama into the physical things, right? Like a jerk like me on that day, right? That I'm thinking only about that piece of meat, and I'm standing next to a chashev yid. So then, when you put your neshama into that, so then, that's the sad thing of investing spiritual kaiches into something of this world. That's tragic. And that's what we were guilty of that all the time. And then you feel, you know, you feel like this is terrible, this is a tragedy, how come I couldn't do this? So that's the chiluk.
According to the Lashon that he's saying here, the mitzvah itself, did he get the mitzvah and the checklist of doing the mitzvah? Did he get it?
That's a discussion, that's why I said it's kedai to look in the Chalkas Yoyev from the Avnei Nezer's at Talmud, to look in the Chalkas Yoyev. I don't want to get into it right now because that's...
I'm saying what he's saying over here. That's what I'm referring to. So
you're talking in Pnimius. What he's saying here, so the Maral says, let's learn it a little bit more. Vahare, he says, afterward it says Gashmi in brackets. You have that? Right after the word Gashmi in brackets. Vahare, haya reitza lasis ha-mitzvah, v'kachaya b'daita v'machshavta, rakshaboloi oynis, v'kevin shechosha b'sichloi lasis. Since b'sichloi, he was intending lasis, then mechashe v'kosa ki'ilu asa. The Torah considers it as if he did it. What's missing is the guf Hamaisa Hagashmi Venenis. The Kolza Mitzad Ka Mitzvah Elokis, because the mitzvah comes from another place. The mitzvah is godly. Ain't a maise gufani, it's not a physical act, Kamashah Maisim. Kemaisa Shu Gufani. When it's a physical act, Toila Basias Haguf Lagamri, then it's limited to the dimension of physical reality. It's a physical act. And that's all it is. Cholzman Shloi Nasa, if it wasn't done, Hare La Nasa, it wasn't done. Veloi Kein HaMitzvah, Shehi Inyan Sichli Eloki Bilvad, which is Inyan Sichli Eloki Bilvad, Vahoy Lamaise Mitzvah Yeshkan, because it's Malah because of Ki'ilu Asom, Mimela Af Matan Schaila Neshama Yeshkan of Trishi Yisbar. So that means the Neshama is rewarded, as the Moral is explaining on top. So, we have here an interesting thing, because Alpi Din, it's to say that the person actually did it, and that it should be, let's say, Nafkim and isn't halacha, that he's Yoytzei, right? If that was true, then a person who's honest and he wasn't able to daven, then he's not. Then why should he be able to make it up by the next tefillah, right? Why should there be a teshulman? The vice says he didn't daven, and therefore, if he has the opportunity to what? To correct the problem, which Chazal gave us the opportunity to daven a teshulman, right? To correct it. So you see that it's not lemaisa, the poil, it wasn't done. Therefore, a tikkun has to take place. But you have to understand, since sof kol sof, the mitzvahs were given to us to perform in this physical world, and that's the tachlis of our creation, is to reveal kavod shamayim in this world. Therefore, although the neshama, as the Maral tells us, the neshama is rewarded because the neshama was doing it. The neshama was there, right, where it wants to be. That's where the neshama was. But sof kol sof, you can't have, in response to your question, you can't have a shleimus. It really can't be. Because sof kol sof, the tachlis of all tiramisus is to be megalik kvod shamayim in the physical world. So there remains something unfortunate. There remains something said in the story. Because sof kol sof, the guf is not meaningless. The body is not meaningless. The body means something also. You can't ignore it because the mitzvahs were given to perform with the guf. So therefore, that ke'ilu remains. And that's what he brought before from the Yerushalmi. Keman da'ovid lo yamrinan. Keman da'ovid lo yamrinan. You still can't say he's the same person as the Jew who made it through the traffic and got to do the mitzvah. You can't say it because it's lo yamrinan. There's something that's missing still.
So for each mitzvah, there's a spiritual part and the physical.
Right. Therefore, the neshama can be rewarded. And that's what the Maral's talking about. A Jew, God forbid, who can't make it to the end zone, right? Since we're talking Super Bowl. He can't make it to the end zone. He didn't have a... Whatever happened, something happened. So he died early or something happened. So he couldn't make it there. He was an honest. But the Neshama made it to the end zone. So Mitzad the Neshama, because what does it mean? It means that's where he wanted to do that in life. And then he didn't have the physical opportunity to carry out his ritzainas, his what he wanted. So therefore, mitzad the neshama, he receives the reward for the neshama. And mitzad the guf, he couldn't.
Why is it any more difficult than saying somebody who did a maisa, Gemara says, onus rechamana patra? So just, it seems to me that whatever predicates that to negate the physical is the same karech to make the physical as if it did happen.
Patering somebody, Aynes Rachmana Patre, again, I don't want to go into the lumdus of it, but Aynes Rachmana Patre, this is the discussion, this is what the discussion in the Chalkis Yoyev, and that's just the most comprehensive discussion of the Inyan. But that's the way the Chalkis Yoyev, the Rachmana Patre means that you're pater. The patur, being exempt, does not mean that you accomplished something. That's the question. That's the lomdus. What is the definition of onus? What's the definition of rachmana patre? What does it mean to be? Does it mean that apidin, I am viewed as someone who actually did this that I couldn't do because of some obstruction, or does it mean that there was that lemais I didn't, I was not mekayim this. And it's a ke'ilu. Or if I was forced to do an aveira, right? If I was forced to do something that I didn't want to do, so that onus is rachmana patre. So the shaila is, do I need any tikkun at all? Do I need a tikkun? This is what's discussed. Do I have to? In other words, if something took place that I did not, I'm not getting. These are shilas of shoygeg of misasek, right? So if I did not intend for this to take place, I didn't intend. Right, so the Gemara says I intended to shoot the arrow at that guy. Okay, so if I didn't intend to hurt anybody, and it hit someone, all of these things, or if someone was you pushed somebody to get out of the way, and it turns out that he killed this person, v'chulu. All of these stories. So what is the definite? What is does that mean that he needs a tikkun? Does he have to do tshuva? This is a shaila. Does he have to do tshuva? If you say that Rachmana Patri means it's as if it never happened, then you shouldn't have to do tshuva. But if it's a p'tur, then to say that it never happened, and that's the maskana, by the way, of most of the achrayim, that to say that it never happened, you can't say, because sof we're living in a physical world. It's Nailam HaGashmi. You know, there was a maisa, there was a year that Rav Hutner, Olav Hashem, spent with Rav Kook. 1 year. And from that 1 year, Rav Hutner was flying the rest of his life. Right? He spent with Rav Kook. Even until the last couple of years, he used to have in his sukkah a picture of Rav Kook. But then he said he regretted he had to take it down because it became controversial, the yeshivas, and so it became politically incorrect. So, but Rav Hutner considered himself to be a Talmud. And when he says in Pachi Yitzchak, I heard from Chachmei Emes, he means Rav Kook, the Derech Klal. So that 1 year, you know, that was the year there was a tremendous debate. That was the year that Hebrew University was opening in Yerushalayim. And they went full-fledged war. They asked Rav Kook to deliver the inaugural speech at the opening of the Hebrew University, which we have, by the way, in the Svarm. It's a Hafladik thing, what he says. So Rav Kook was maskim on the condition that there will never be taught in Hebrew University biblical criticism. Meaning that they'll have secular subjects and they'll teach Tanakh al Tzad HaKedusha. Meaning they're not going to have, at that time was popular, biblical criticism. There are different authors of this part and that part and so on. So they will ask him that they'll do that. So Rav Kook gave this unbelievable talk about Kodesh and Chol, holiness and this, beautiful. And he spoke about the Yiddish and the Neshama, and he didn't say one word about the university, but about the Neshamas. But he was, every single street in Yerushalayim had signs plastered up again. This was the end, right? For Rav Kook, he had a lot of aggravation from that. So what happened was, it was a few weeks after the university opened, and Rav Hutner was sitting and learning with Rav Kook. They were learning in Rav Kook's house, apartment. And a bracha came running with the news, the terrible news, that the professor so-and-so gave a major lecture on the subject of biblical criticism. That there are different authors of the Bible and this and that. So Rav Kook turned white when he heard that. And Rav Hutner said, I saw this, it says, and Rav Neri brought this, there Rav Hutner says he doesn't know, he's thinking now, he says, how did I have the chutzpah? He says, 40 years later, he says, how did I dare to say this in front of my rabbi? But Rav Kook was sitting there, he turned white, and Rav Hutner said, he said to him, that, I said, the rabbi understands a Yiddish and a Shoma, but maybe not a Yiddish a Guf. He said, the rabbi has a good understanding of a Jewish soul, but maybe not of a Jewish body. And Rav Kook nodded, and Rav Hutner said that after that, that was the time that his health thought, from that time on it was downhill, and then it was a short time later, already Elul, the Nehi already died in Elul, that from that he became so sick over that whole Indian that he would participate in the opening of the university. As mitzad neshama, so he says, the Rebbe understands the Yiddish neshama, because the whole talk was the Jew is this, the Jew is that, but there's also a goof, you know. And one has to acknowledge the existence of the goof. Therefore, Ki'ilu or Rachmana Patre can only take you to a certain place, but sof kol sof, mitzvahs were meant to work here in this physical world. They have to work in this physical world. Let's go back on top. So he says, the last line on page Samach, Rakim also b'meizid b'dayto b'sichloi. If, however, God forbid, the person. He didn't do the mitzvah, but not because he was an honest, not because of something that got in his way, but he did it. He didn't want to do it. It was b'dayto b'sichloi. He made up his mind. I don't want this mitzvah. I'm not interested in this mitzvah. I don't believe, Khalil. I don't believe in this mitzvah. He didn't want it. So he says, then he says, v'zeh hayo mitzad ha-neshama. But again, as I told you before, it means even mitzad ha-neshama, not the yichidish b'nefesh, not the pnimis ha-neshama. So when a person intentionally says, I don't want the mitzvah, I'm not interested in the mitzvah, and it's b'mezid, so then we have a problem, because then his neshama has participated in this rebellion. He's already called his neshama into the fight, and then once that happens, so he says zay mitzad neshama rak hakavana b'misha efshel. That then already then it's not kilo. What can you do? So he says rak hakavana. In other words, in that regarding that which he wrote that a person who, what we're talking before, that you have Nebuchadnezzar, a person who couldn't, he died young, he couldn't fulfill his shleimus, he couldn't come to a shleimus because he died, or whatever happened, there was death is also an onus, it's the biggest onus, so he couldn't complete what he needed to do. That, he says, is talking about Raka Kavana B'misha Evshala Yitzir Shleimus Elapoyal V'lo Haitzi Shleimus Shlei Elapoyal. He wanted to. That's what I mean. He had a hachana to. He wanted to, and he was moving in that direction. But v'lo haitzi shleimus shleil apoyel v'davizay yisbar ad v'biyah rochav v'dvarim beruim. Let's look at 34 and 35. It clarifies a few points here. Footnote 34. Perush. Ach kasheloi also mitzvah. When his not performing the mitzvah was machmas pshia zidaynis. It was intentional. Leguf ukemuvul el b'hakdama herasix ubegrar yeva yikra and so on kasa v'aydnir ki baral razal poshet the chazal ki ha'oyla techaper davka al hamezid that a carbon oyla can bring kapara davka when there was an intentional participation in this aveira. Kiasha chote b'meizid uchote kishu b'dayta v'sichla. Moral says a gewaltig thing. The moral says that the reason that an oila has the ability to bring a level of kapara even for a meizid is because what's meizid? Meizid means that when a person sinned with his das and with his seichel. He meant, in other words, the entirety of the person participated in the aveira. The whole person was there. He came with everything. So he says, "Shukulay kodesh l'Hashem," and this is a terrible perversion. To bring your neshama with you into an aveira is a terrible perversion, because really the das neseichel of a Jew is kulay kodesh l'Hashem. Lakach, therefore, he says, "Tehei ha'ayla kolu l'Hashem." That's why the carbon oil was unique. Because the carbon oil was completely burned. Every part of it was burned. And that alone can somehow bring kapara for a Jew who was completely burned. Meaning for a Jew who brought himself completely into Ra. Who intentionally brought himself into something that he shouldn't have. Therefore, that's what he says, Lakach tehei ha'ayla kolu l'Hashem. That's what Chazal mean when they say that the oila comes for the machshava. So perhaps this oila means is mechaper and hirurei aveira. That an oila will bring you atonement, will bring you kapar for thoughts that you had that were bad thoughts. What does that mean? Because what we're concerned with over here is, did this person sin in his entirety, or did he only sin mitzad the guf? There's a difference between a person who happily participates in an aveira or happily ignores mitzvahs, and a person who begrudgingly and regretfully couldn't carry something out or didn't aveira, right? It bothers him. That's why I said it means a lot. What your machshav is, it means a great deal. And that's why I said many times in shul that when the Yeshua's Yaakov asked, Rabbi Hirshel Zid the Tshava, so what did the Baal Shem HaKadosh, two life in the world, what did he change so much in the world? So what did he change so much in the world? So Beishla Zidichav said that since the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was in the world, when a person does an aveir, he doesn't have as much of a geshmak as he used to. The Baal Shem Tov messed it up. Like, you can't enjoy an aveir the way that you used to. What does that mean? The Baal Shem Tov did in the world. The Baal Shem Tov drew our neshamas towards the Baruch Shalom in such a way that when a Jew does an aveir, his neshama is not altogether there. His neshama is not altogether there. It's like, you know, it's like you're leaving the house when you're a teenager and your mother said, you're not going anywhere. You say, yes, I am. And your mother says, you're not going anywhere. And if you go there, you're going to be so, I don't want you going. I said, I'm going anyway. So then, and you go out, you walk out of the house and you go into the car. So it's not so geschmack. I mean, you go and you went with the chevra, but if you love your mother, you know, it's not so geschmack. So, like, you know, yeah. Later on, you can't really enjoy yourself. You can't really enjoy yourself. Because your neshama wanted to listen to your mother, and you did something, you know, you ran out. So it's not so geschmack. So that the oyla is mechaper on the machshava, because there is such a thing when a Jew, God forbid, participates completely in an aveira. He's kalil, God forbid, to the other side. He gives even his machshava to the other side. He has a geschmack. He doesn't feel the slightest regret. So 100%. This is what I want to be. This is what I want to do. That's why it's so important for us. Even if God forbid we do an aveira, chalila, we shouldn't identify with it. Which in the writings of Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nosson, he says a gewaldig thing. You remember when it says, the Zoya says that when Esther Malka went into Ahasuerus, when she had to live with Ahasuerus, so it says in the Zoya that she didn't go herself. What did she do? The Zoya says she sent a shade. What does that mean? She sent some kind of a double, a clone, but it wasn't her. You know, when you see it, if you ever say over the Zohar Kodesh to a bunch of teenagers, so what do you mean? You think Saturday night that was me? That was my double. I'm sorry, that wasn't me. Who you saw? That wasn't me. I was in yeshiva. What does that mean? So in Breslov they said that it means like this. So Rabbi Nachman says sometimes a Jew finds himself. Sometimes Esther Malka finds herself in the place of Ahasuerus. You're not honest. You know, you find yourself in a place where you don't belong. So he says the ikkar is you shouldn't be there completely. You understand what he means? What does it mean that Esther Malka sent a shade? It means that it doesn't mean we know that she lived with him, and we know that they're descendants. She did go with him, but she didn't go be'etzim with him. She didn't give herself over to him. She sent an alter image, an alter ego. She sent a part of herself that was disgusted, that was upset, that felt repulsed by Ahasuerus. And the way that the Zohar, which only talks about Pnimius and Yonim, the way the Zohar says it is that she didn't go herself as the Malka. She sent something else, a Shayda, a Koyach. So the Tzaddikim said, therefore, if a Jew does an aveira, even if a Jew is an aveira, so one needs to send a shade to do the aveira. What does that mean? It's not an excuse, God forbid, to do anything wrong, but it means that it's one thing to do an aveira, it's another thing to believe in it. You know, so those people who write all kinds of fancy things to explain why am I doing this aveira, and they write the doctoral thesis to explain the justification or rationale why I do this and why I do that, and all these fancy stories, and it's not so posh. The Rambam, you know, you talk to someone, you have, where does it say you're allowed to have a television set? Meir Teza, who says it was any tzaddik? Well, it's not so clear, it's probably because you can learn Pshat in the Rambam, and there's a Kesef Mishnah, and we learn from the Shach and the Taz, and they tell you all these things. Oy vavoy. The best thing is a Jew says, listen, it's taka, it's not right, and I regret doing it, and I'm going to try not to, because then when he's sitting down by the machine, he's not going, he's like Esther Malka a little bit, he's sending his shade to watch the show. It's not an excuse, but when a person says, I hold it, I'll pee the Rambam, then you'll have people you'll talk to, you walk out after talking to them, you say, what, am I crazy? You ask a little child, if you call over a little kid and you show him some of the stuff on the television, you say, tell me, Ingela, do you think the Rebbeinu Shalom is happy with this stuff? Do you think the Chavetz Chaim would have watched this? So the kid says, what are you out of your mind? The little kid. But you can ask some fancy guy who learned four blood Gemara, and he got his master's in rabbinical homiletics. And he sits there telling you, he sits there and he'll give you a whole hesber, that no, based upon the Ralbag, man has to appreciate God's world. And part of the way of appreciating God's world is that man should be able to have the vast array of experiences and so on and so forth. And, come on, that's Bubba Mises. But the problem is that this guy, he really believes in it. So he turns on the machine and they get mit neshama tzam. He goes in Gunson to watch. Why? He holds it. Not only am I allowed, but it's a mitzvah sesim deraisa. I should become what? I should be a well-rounded person? I should be a well-rounded person? Who's chashm? Where? What? A person who's doing an aveir, but he feels I'm an onus al pidiba, what can I do? I'm amish, I don't know what to do, and I need some time to get out of it. I'll try to turn it on less. I'll try a little bit to modify and how I'm watching, what I'm watching, v'chulu. I wrote an article, and I had some people that were upset with me for writing this, because there was a certain Talmud Chacham, a person who knows how to learn a lot more than me, could blow me away any day in learning. But this person wrote in an article that he had written about how every yeshiva bacher must learn Shakespeare and must learn Hemingway and Milton and so on, because why must you? This is an interesting thing. Why must you? Because of the inspiration and v'chulu v'chulu. So I wrote back. I wrote a thing in which I quoted a few marmakimis, and I said, if there's even one hearer haveira that comes from reading Canterbury Tales, if there's one hearer haveira, where did you ever get this idea? B'mechilas kvoda, where did you ever get this idea that for the sake of some sort of mysterious inspiration, you're allowed to put your head into the toilet? Where did you ever hear? Is there anything like that? When the Shmatim Oedlan Afshasechim, the Torah is Hefker? The Torah Hefkin, I had from his Talmidim, they came, Mamish, they were right of me. For 6 months, they were right of me. but this is, who ever heard of such a thing? As the Machshava, as the Tanya said, that when a Jew has a Hirui Aveira, it's like taking the head of the king and putting it into the tsoy, into the toilet. Because the mind of a Jew is a neshama, right? So that's what the pshat, it's like, but the pshat is that he says that there's such a thing that it's mechapa on a hearer, because on a machshava it means because an oil is burned on the altar completely in his bech. The oil is altogether burned because there is such a thing as a Jew that he did the avera in an altogether type of a way. He brought himself into the avera completely. He didn't detach himself. He should have sent a shein. If he had to do it, then you do it b'oinus. You dragged with chains like Yaakov to Mitzrayim, right? But you don't. You don't go besimcha. You don't go besimcha. If you arrive in the cause of ruchachem, carbon oil is that which comes into your mind. Because of neisha ha'oila kolul Hashem mizatam sviulhu gamkein the ha'oila bol ha'mezid. That's the Indian of the oila, which is bol ha'mezid, that it brings kapara for mezid. Because what does mezid mean? Mezid means that in my mind and my heart I wanted to be there. Shoyse b'dayt u'machshav. Because the noch the bar vein laharach. The Ma'al says this is clear. Ve'ein laharv. So, Adkan the Maral is explaining to us that you shouldn't make a mistake to think that a Jew who had an artificial oinus mitzad the guf, that God forbid that he doesn't have all of the shleimus and all the simcha of olam ha'emes waiting for him. And this, what we spoke about tonight, is a yisoid in bechlal in Yiddishkeit. This whole inyan of what an oinus, of what it means mitzad the neshom and the guf, what's an oinus. And we should apply it to Mitzvah Shem to Torah. We'll continue next week to explain how Amelus and Torah is that which alone gives us the ability to bring our Kirkus out El Apoil. Shkar.